You may be seated. My machine's took a notion that she's not turning. she does that down again. That's non-mechanical. Technology, nonetheless. The Lord bless you. I want to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just thinking while we're singing that song. His name shall be preached in all the world. Then shall the end come. His name, praise God. What a wonderful, beautiful name, the name of the Lord. Please pray for Brother Laurie. Laurie's got a few pains. That's why he hasn't been for a few services. Brother Yule was telling me this morning, pray for Brother Laurie. You find that when you preach, and I mean that in all sincerity, sometimes when you preach, the devil, he'll come on you. I used to remember my dad tell me years ago, says when you preach something, the devil will try and make you to challenge on it, see if you believe it or not. And sometimes the Lord gets you to preach things when you're in the need of it your own self. Maybe you're sick and then he wants you to preach on healing. See, it's all the Lord's word, isn't it? But God will confirm his own word, praise God. Our sister Eileen wants to thank everyone for the prayers. She really appreciates all your prayers. She's getting home today from the hospital and maybe going for further treatment, but please keep Sister Eileen in prayer, praise God. And Andre as well. She's still a bit sore. She's to go for further treatment, but they've got everything sorted what they can medically, but we know that she needs the Lord's touch as well. Amen. The Lord is the healer. And we just pray and praise the Lord. Next Sunday evening, I might not be here. Brother Gary's going to be preaching. Seen on the calendar yesterday, I have an invitation to Castle Dawson or Derg. Is it Dawson? Castle Dawson. I think it's about 2 hours away. So I'm booked in to preach there. They're wanting me down there to do a week of meetings or something as well, but I don't know if why it'll happen or not, but God has to make a way for these things. And also, we're going to see Brother Howard and Sister June, and the Lord willing, when we're in New Zealand. And Howard's had a bit of a turn again, and he was took back into the hospital, but he's getting out. So pray for Brother Howard that they're keen for me to come down, you know, and preach hard. It's not preaching much anymore. And we're hopefully going to travel down to Gisborne when we're over at the wedding. 4 weeks' time do we go. So just keep us in prayer and everything that the Lord will have its way. A bit croaky myself today, but the devil, he's a liar. I'm not receiving it, I'll tell you that right now. He's a liar. He can take it all back on a bonus along with. We can have them both. That's what I hate him. He's a stinker. Let's start. Let's read the Word of God in Genesis 21, verse 33. And I've prepared what I was going to preach this morning. And I was going to go to see Auntie Eileen and them. Margaret said she might. We thought maybe she'd get out last night, but she's getting out today. But took Sharon for a drive. We went out for a drive. And I was just thinking, this wee country's beautiful, isn't it? And we're having great weather. I know we're having a bit of rain, but it's doing the grass good. And the fields are green and the country's beautiful, isn't it? There's nowhere any nicer in the world than here at this time of the year. It is beautiful. And we went round by Tremor, went up to the graveside and seen my dad's grave and Rock's grave. And Davy Jones's grave, and was just thinking, looking at them graves, and I was just thinking and praying in myself, and I was just thinking about eternity. That's all about eternity. And I want to share with you this morning at the end of time. We're working with someone that time has no effect on. None whatsoever. We're affected by time. But yet there is a part of us that time will never affect when you're born again. Time will not actually affect it. Let's read this, and then I'm going to share with you, and I'll try and talk and not preach too much. This morning we're going to have communion as well, and the Lord bless each one. And Brother Brian wants to thank everyone as well. He's had the hip operation, and they said they've never seen it worse. Inside the bones and stuff, they had to do grafting where the hip is. Philip, I know, was bad. So, but look, he's got it fixed. We thank the Lord for the doctors and people, what they can do. It's amazing what they can do. And we really appreciate what they can do. Isn't it wonderful? And that's why we need to pray for all our doctors and nurses as well. Let's read Genesis 21, verse 33 as an opening scripture this morning. Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Let's bow our heads, and if you have a need, lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the words we've been singing this morning. And we bless you, Lord Jesus, that we can come in and gather in your precious and your lovely name. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what was shed for us, that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Father, will you wash every one of us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb? Will you purge us and sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit? Lord, I rebuke every sickness, every cold, every flu, every backache, toothache, stomachache, headache. I rebuke every infirmity of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ right now. We resist the devil. And Lord, you said if we resist the devil, he will flee. We pray for Brother Laurie for a mighty touch on his body, regardless to his age. We want you to touch him. We want the Spirit of God to move on him. We rebuke the devil over him. And we pray for your touch upon him. Pray again for my Auntie Eileen for a recovery. Touch her, O God. Recover her health. And Andre as well, in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for Davy West's dad. Lord, how you have touched him. They had the funeral more or less arranged, but you have had different plans. We thank you for your plans. For your ways are above our ways, and your thoughts are above our thoughts. Oh God, will you rid us as people from the unbelief, and help us to faith, and help us to be men and women of Mark 16, that signs will follow us. Father, bless everyone in this house. Bless her sister Winifred as well. Pray again for Brother Andrews this morning. Speak to him, and Stephen Johnson, speak to them. Move on these men, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking you this morning to take a special dealing with a pair of them and move them in Jesus' precious name. And Father, fill us, your people, with the Holy Spirit. Touch and bless Brother Brian and Howard. Minister them as well, we pray. Grant them your mercy and your grace. And all the fellowship around in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, for today, for every man that stands and preaches the truth, bless them and bless this meeting. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Eternity is a realm of God's being. Eternity is more than just an extension of time. Eternity differs in its nature from time. Eternity It's altogether different from the realm, a different mode, a different being. Eternity is God's own mode, God's own being. The realm in which God himself dwells is eternity. There's a wonderful man on, I don't know the man's name. Gary would perhaps know this man. He's famous, challenging, talking to the, you know them boys, say the earth evolved. What do you call that? Evolutionists. And this man's on and they keep asking the question about God, and he destroys him in just a couple of minutes, it's over. And he's a wonderful man. I don't know the man, but he's a good man, I'll tell you that. And you see, he says, you're thinking of God, you're thinking like your computer, that God's, there's something running around this wee computer making it work. But he says, you're wrong. God's not in it like that. God's above it all, beyond it all, greater than it all. And before anything was, God, the self-existing one who dwelt alone with his thoughts, supernatural God with supernatural ability, with supernatural authority that's not hindered by time. And God himself's the one that spoke the world into being. And then the time came. As we know time. And one day the Bible says time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. But we know when we're saved, when we're born again, that we'll receive everlasting life. And everlasting life is not affected by time. And our bodies, we're working here in time. We rose this morning, we're in time. We're going to bed tonight, we're in time. You know, the Bible says it's foolish to sit up late, to rise early. Because you'll be sleeping the next day. Sure, you know that. I know my own self going to work. Our William's sleeping in the van before we're 2 minutes out of Bond Bridge. As I see him coming home at night, because you see, young fellas have that many things I think they need to do instead of going to bed. My dad used to say, you see, the bed is a prison at night and a hotel in the morning. That's the truth, isn't it? Hard to get into it, but it's hard to get out of it. But the Bible speaks about rising up early. The scripture speaks about rising early and seeking the Lord. Time. Isaiah 40:28 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. God isn't tired. God doesn't get weary like us. And that's why I said what I said. Jesus as a man was wearied. Jesus as a man tired. Now you know that's the truth. The Bible says he was asleep in the boat. But then when you read the book of Psalms, you don't read that. You read that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Because you see, in the person of the Lord Jesus, God condescended. He lowered himself. He took a mighty stoop. And he came down to our level. That he could redeem us and pay the price for our salvation. But God himself never wearies. God himself never tires. God himself's not affected by time. And people talk about there's events. We will set in place an emotion or a doctrine and we'll bring the Lord back. Absolute rubbish. Let me tell you that now. That's a false doctrine. There's no group of people on this earth by doing certain things will bring the Lord back. I do not believe that. There's no Bible for that in my mind, in my opinion. My Bible says no man knows the day that they are. It goes further. It says he's coming as a thief. Well, you do not know when the thief's coming. He comes when you don't think about it. When you're snoring, sleep, fast asleep in your bed, the thief comes. I used to be a thief. When I say that, I'm ashamed to tell you that. But I'm not going to lie to you. I used to be a thief. I chum with thieves. I know how they operate. When you're sleeping, they'll be moving. In the early hours of the morning, that's when thieves operate. When you're fast asleep. And I'll tell you, the Lord's coming as a thief in the night. And people talk about, we'll do this, we'll do that. That's why we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. No man knoweth the day nor the hour when he come. And the rapture's a secret. The Lord will catch his people away. The rapture will be a secret. Remember, the rapture's not actually the second coming in the sense. It's a secret rapture where the bride goes. He doesn't come to the earth. We meet him in the earth. And we go to be with the Lord. Then we come back with him, king and queen. That's the second coming of the Lord, really. And he stands on the Mount of Olives. But I want to talk to you this morning about this everlasting God, and I'll come again tonight with some other thoughts I have and scriptures. And I hope the Lord blesses you, encourages you. Psalms 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God himself also defines his own eternal nature and realm. He's everlasting. He's from everlasting. He is everlasting. There's nothing can be compared to God. Nothing. No devil or nothing. He's before everything. Superior to everything. Isaiah 57:15 says this, for thus saith the hand, the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Lord himself, the high, the mighty Lord, can revive us. It's the Lord can revive us. There's no such thing as some new movement that'll revive you. It's the Lord that revives us. And he says he can do it. Do you believe that? The Lord can do it. You know, when the bones, when you go into the Old Testament, the bones said, prophesy to these bones and speak to them. And then flesh come on them and sinew come on them. And then the prophet said, how can they live? And then Zerubbabel, you know the scriptures, says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God can do the thing which humanly, physically is impossible. God can still do it. And many times we can look at someone and we don't know how it can be done, and we don't, but God can still do it. And he wants us to only believe. Only believe. Where's that wee thought went to? Why is there no emphasis on that statement, on that phrase? Only believe. That's one of the greatest sayings, one of the greatest phrases. It's a real truth. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. These scriptures reveal the eternity as an aspect of God's own nature. The realm in which God himself has his being. When Moses asked God what name he wished to make himself known to the children of Israel, God gave to Moses this reply in Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. Here God gives Moses two forms of the name. Number one, I am. And I am who I am. So he says, I am. Then he says, I am who I am. This reveals the eternal, unchanging nature of God. So God said to Moses, he says, you've met with the eternal, unchanging God. Who are you? I'm eternal and I'm unchanging. That's who I am, Moses. That's what God said to him. I am. God's always I am. He is no way changed or affected by the course of time, which is but a part of his own creation. He made time. Time cannot affect God. People think God can be affected by time and, oh, this will happen and that will happen. And what's God going to do? None of it affects God. God's God's not affected. God already has a plan. If we were permitted to see part of God's plan this morning, I'll guarantee you we'd change our views a lot. God knows the end from the beginning. The Bible says he does. And he knew us ever before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew us. He's all-knowing God. See, he has in no way changed. For God's past, present, future are ever united in eternal present and eternal I am. That's God. Out of his revelation granted to Moses came the sacred form of God's name, consisting of four Hebrew consonants. Represented in English word is Yahweh. Yahweh. Meaning he is, or alternatively, he will be. Some translations interpreted the eternal. He is, he will be, the eternal one, the self-existing one. He is. Where's God? He is. Where was he? Still is. He's unchanged. That's why when people say it's not for the day, today. They preach it here Thursday night with a question mark. It's not for today. How many people preach it's not for today? But my Bible does not talk like that. It's not for today. My Bible talks the language, God's language. I'm the same. I never change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, Malachi 3, verse 6. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. God doesn't change. He healed a blind man when he was here thousands of years ago. He can do it again. But you know what's wrong? People are looking to some man. They want some special man to do it. But I'm telling you, there is only one special man. He is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's very special. In the New Testament, the same truths concerning the eternal unchanging nature of God are brought out in the revelations granted to the Apostle John in Revelations 1 and verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. He's Almighty. He was, he is to come. He never changes. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega the last. Thus the whole alphabet of time from its beginning till its ending is contained within the nature of God himself. The phrase, who is and who was and is to come, sums up the present, past, future, and thus exactly corresponds to the revelation of God's nature given to Moses. I am. Moses, I am. Who have we just met? You've just met I am. You've just met the one with no beginning. You've met the one with no ending. You've met the one that can do far above exceedingly what you think or even ask. The Bible says that. That's what God can do. God, could you do it for me? I couldn't. You could do above it. That's what God's saying to you this morning. I can do more than you're asking. More. Do you realize right down to the natural things? You could have a car that's more than needing fixed. God could give you a brand new car. Brand new. Do you believe that? Absolutely. Amen. Certainly I do. I know people, God's, that have been given cars. People that's been given houses. God can do it. God is able to do it. God can do anything. But we limit him. The Bible warns us we're not to limit God. The Bible says, don't limit the Holy One of Israel. There are other titles of God here used. The Almighty corresponds to the Hebrew form used from the book of Genesis onward, El Shaddai. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thy perfect. I am Almighty God, El Shaddai. appeared to Abraham, 99 years old. The all-sufficient God. You say, but Brother Tom, what's it mean? He appeared to Abraham. Appeared to Abraham, and he's 99 years old. And Abraham was promised a son. And he wasn't just promised a son now. Let's fix this. He was promised a son by a woman who couldn't have children, that never had children. Not only could she not have children, she never had children. Now she can't have children. She's never had children. And she's far too old to have children. But God says he'll do it. Now Moses has nothing to do. Abraham, sorry, it's nothing to do. Only believe. And if you go to Hebrews or Romans 4, you'll read, Moses believed God. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God. Let me go forward till it. Romans 11:36 also says, for in him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. It's all in the Lord. Abraham had it. Moses had it. We can have it. All in the Lord. The one in whom all creation is summed up from its beginning to its ending. The same pictures. Absolute all sufficiency of God is all contained in the New Testament as well. God's all sufficient. See, this is where I differ from some people. Now, you will do as well, I hope. This is where we have to differ. And I'll tell you, I'm going to be strong in this. I'm not bending the nail on it. This idea, we could have another man, and he's exactly like Jesus in every way, in every form, is a false doctrine. Because this Bible proves it here. Let me read you it again. For in him and through him and to him are all things, to whom glory forever and ever. There's no other man that I'll look at and say, in you and through you is all things. Not a chance of it. Not a chance of it. Get yourself on. There's no way God would want us ever to say that or give that praise to no human other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord. This, I'm telling you something. God wants the Lord lifted. I can prove that. Jesus, if I be lifted up. There's other people that are lifted too much. But people don't see it. Because there's another spirit blinding them. But the Lord wants lifted. I'm not going into this book. I'm not getting into this book to look for any other man. When I read about David, I'm looking for the Lord. When I read about Moses, I'm looking for the pattern of the Lord. Everything, I'm looking for the Lord. He's the one. The high, the mighty, the lofty one. Who inhabits all eternity. That almighty God condescended and he come down in the person of Christ. And he loves you this morning. And he's your sufficiency. He's your sufficiency. He can answer big prayers. Far bigger than you could ever think of. The Lord can answer them. All things have their origin in God. All things are kept in being by God. All things find their end and their completion in God. Everything. Now we could look at great men from the past, but if I needed one of them this morning to help them out, I'm bait. Straight away I'm bait. They're not there. I can listen their testimony. I can listen their sermons. They'll bless me. They'll help me because they're inspired of the Lord. But I've a friend this morning that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. And his name's the Lord Jesus. I'm leaning on him. For he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He says, oh, I'm with you to the end. And I told you, I showed you the other night, people quote from Corinthians, the prophecy will cease and all these things will cease. Then I showed you in Revelations, Moses and Elijah are still prophesying in the tribulation. So this is going to go to the end. When we see him face to face, it's the coming of the Lord. We're going to be changed. All the gifts, everything's going right to the end. That's what I believe. All the names, titles of God contained within them, a revelation of God's own eternal nature, every one of them do. Out of eternity, by an act of creation, God brought into being the present world, and with it in the order of time as well as we know it, past, present, future, but another divine act, God will one day bring this present world till an end. That's what he's going to do. And with it, time as we know it will once again cease to be. Time is directly and inseparably related to our present world, order. With this order, the time came into being, and with this order, time will once again cease to be. And doesn't the Bible say, time shall be no more? Now, I know there's a lot of things to happen, but it still says it. Within the limits of this present world order, all creatures are subject to the presence, to the process of time. Time is one factor in man's total experience, which has no power to change. All men in this world are creatures and slaves to time. No man has a power to arrest the course of time or to reverse time. Now we know that God supernaturally in the Old Testament, when a servant prayed, he caused the moon to stand still. Didn't he do it? The dial went back. The time stopped, didn't it? God done that. Through a man of God that prayed, God done that. But only God can do that. We know that God, through Elijah praying and it never rained. What was it? 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and it rained. And 7 times he sent Gehazi up the hill. Is it raining yet? 7 times. We know God can do things. But they're sovereign to God. But I believe when we're in need and we pray, God hears us. Do you know why? Because he's given us a name. Hallelujah. That's far above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. There's 2 universal appointments. What I want to talk about for a moment. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Just as death is a universal fate of all. Now with the exception, if we're raptured. Let me say this. But for those of us that's raptured, we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. This mortal's going to put on immortality. And every single person has an appointment with death. And the only people that will miss that is those that's raptured, caught away to be with the Lord. Now, through the descent of Adam, so the resurrection from the dead is universal. It's an appointment of God for all. That's the truth. And this is the mode possible through the death and resurrection of Christ. To this universal appointment of the resurrection from the dead. Do you know, because Christ raised, the saved's not just going to raise. But you know that one day, the unsaved's coming out as well. How many knows that? There's going to be a judgment. Now the person that's a believer will not be in that judgment. Because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. But those that went to hell, there's no going to be reversing that they're going to be saved. They're lost. It's a condemnation. But they're coming out. So this phrase that people have, we'll go to sleep and that'll be the end of it. No, it's 1,000,000 miles from the truth. The universal appointment of the resurrection from the dead. The Bible admits that only one class of exception. And the exception is for those that never die. And there will be a group of people that will never die. Do you believe that? The catching up or the rapture. Or as I often say when I'm preaching it, you're partaken. Like Enoch walked with God and the Lord took him. And there is going to be a group of people the Lord's going to take. I believe we could be part of that. It could be in our time. I don't know if it will be, but it could be.
But we need to be ready for it. Oh, I'm ready. Saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. You're ready. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. This sound of shine yesterday as we stood and looked at the graves. There was a body in there, but the soul went on already to be with the Lord. But when the rapture takes place, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to be up before us. They will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But they're going to come out of them graves. And as I went through the graveyard, and I was looking at all the different graves, and I said to the Sharon, how many in all of this graveyard is going into catching up? I wonder how many is going, because they're not all going. There's only some that's going to be going and they're catching up. There's the foolish virgin and there's the wise. And the wise has her lamp trimmed and she's filled with oil. She's ready for the catching up, the coming of the Lord in the catching up sense. And them graves will be opened. I tell you, it's going to be some time when all the people go and the Lord takes his people in the rapture, the catching up, and the world's gone on. Then the tribulation comes. And I tell you, the Pope of Rome will really be the man at that time. Let me tell you that. Because Israel's going to make a pact, and the man of sin will enter into a pact with Israel. And there's so much to happen. And he'll break the treaty in the midst of the week. There's a time of tribulation, such as the world's never seen before. The Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. When Paul says here, we shall not all sleep, he's referring to only to the real believers, isn't he? It means that all the true Christians who are alive at the time of Christ's return for the church will not sleep. Spirit-filled believers are gone. They will not die or will sleep in death. Instead, the bodies will be miraculously changed. And they will find themselves arrayed in bodies of an eternal and new supernatural kind. Now, if you don't believe that, the Bible says this corruption puts on incorruption. This mortality shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where's your sting? O grave, where's your victory? Swallowed up at Calvary. He's already paid the price for it. We're the benefactors of what Christ done. We're not just benefactors now. We're saved, we're here. The Lord's looking after us. But we have so much of a benefit. It's like a will that's left to you. And you know you're going to inherit something. And the Lord, there's an inheritance still for the believer. And there's Rock, Madan, and Davy Jones. And there's still something to happen. And we're going to meet them again. We're going to meet them again. It's going to be a resurrection. Therefore, there will remain no further possibility either of death or the resurrection from the dead, besides the class of the true Christians who will be alive at the time of Christ's return. We may leave open the possibility, you know, the two exceptions. Universal appointment of the resurrection from the dead. These are provided by Enoch, Elijah, the two men recorded in the Old Testament who were translated from earth to heaven without seeing death. They never tasted death. But outside of that, And outside of the rapture, every other man will die, won't they? Do you know there's a scripture says they'll cry out for the rocks to fall on them? They'll be tortured that much, they'll cry for death. That'll be the torture. Those who never die will never need to be resurrected from the dead. On the other hand, the Bible does clearly reveal that all who die will also be resurrected from the dead. Paul says, whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. That's what he's saying. Paul's saying, I'd love to go, but it's needful for me to stay. I'd love to go. It's needful for me to stay. But whether I go or whether I stay, I'm the Lord's. And whether I die and I go before you, or whether I'm here, I'm still the Lord's. And then our loved ones are in the Lord's hands this morning. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, and I'm closing, we're going to have communion. And the times of this ignorance God went that, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, whereof he also given assurance to all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. And you remember when I preached about the first fruits and the fruits to follow. And God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And God will raise his own people from the dead. Romans, and then we're going to have communion. Romans 14, 10, 11. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. As believers, we'll give an account as well. But it's different from the unsaved. Theirs is the condemnation. Oh, if only people could see that this morning. I want you to be encouraged. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 11, and maybe tonight I'll say a few more things. I trust the Lord blessed you this morning. Verse 23. Now I've said it before, and I want you, as we take this communion, you pray your own self. And if you have a need, God can touch you while you're taking this bread and wine, because it represents the Lord. What he done on the cross. And as you, there's no power in these emblems, but it's in the remembrance what the Lord done for you. And as we take this, we're saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body was broken for me. Thank you. For I have received the Lord, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he break it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let us just pray, and then I'm going to ask the deacons to come. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious word, for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, these elements that speak of your body, for your precious blood, and how we're wounded on the cross, broken for us. Lord, will you bless the wine and the bread, and will you bless each one that partakes And may they know your healing touch this morning. May you meet needs in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know my own needs, Sharon's needs. Lord, we just bring them before you and others, families in this house with great needs. Lord, will you meet every single need? Lord, will you touch people for all that's laid aside sick? Will you minister unto them by the Holy Spirit this morning? Touch men and women. Inspire men and women even in this room to thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. Father, bless now these emblems as we partake. In the name of Jesus Christ to ask it. Amen. Amen.